Book of the Revelation, chapter 1. And our text for this morning is found there in verse 13. John had heard a voice. It was the sound of a trumpet. And when he turned to see the one who had spoken to him, we read in verse 12, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man." I want to take those words today, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Sometimes the trials of life can, in the providence of God, be to us blessings in disguise. Consider the trials of Joseph, imprisoned when Potiphar's wife made a false accusation against him. Yet that terrible trial for Joseph was used by the Lord to promote Joseph from the prison to the palace. And as a result, he was in a position where he could save his family in the time of famine. That surely was a blessing in disguise, that imprisonment. Indeed, Joseph recognized his imprisonment as a blessing in disguise. For he told his brethren, "God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Genesis 45, verse 7. We think also of another imprisonment that was accompanied by a great blessing. You think of Paul and Silas, arrested and beaten mercilessly and cast into prison. But it was while they were in prison that they had the joy of leading the prisoner to Christ and his family. A blessing in disguise was that imprisonment. And now we have the Apostle John. We have the Apostle John, who was exiled in the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Basically, he was imprisoned there. But my, what a blessing the Apostle John received while in the Isle of Patmos. Because while he was there, he saw in the midst of the seven candlesticks one like unto the Son of Man. And so, dear Christian, today, whenever things happen in your life, and you find it hard to understand and hard to find a reason why, don't rush to judgment. Don't be ready to criticize the Lord and complain. Remember the words of Paul, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Mark the words. "Our light affliction, which is but for a season, worketh against us?" No. "Worketh for us." Jacob said, "All these things are against me." That's how he saw it. But it turned out that all things were for him. Here's John on the Isle of Patmos. He's sentenced to an island. And there in the solitude and in the suffering of the trial of John, he was given a view of Jesus Christ that he had never had before. Sometimes, believer, in the fires of affliction, we're given a view of Christ that we have never had before. He reveals himself to us in a very special way. So it was with John. John saw Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care, and Jesus will solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race. Till we see Christ. And I'm sure that as John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos and then was given that revelation of his beloved Lord and Savior, John would say, this is worth it all. It has been worth it all because I have seen Christ. First of all, we notice the voice of Christ. John has told us, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Verse 10. We notice John's readiness and that voice. The apostle was in a state of readiness and preparedness to receive any word he might be given from the Lord. I say he was in a state of readiness because he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He tells us the frame of soul and mind and heart he was in on the Lord's day. Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, said this. He was in a serious, heavenly spiritual frame, under the blessed, gracious influences of the Spirit of God. Those who would enjoy communion with God on the Lord's day must endeavor to abstract their thoughts and affections from flesh and fleshly things and be wholly taken up with things of a spiritual nature. That's what it is to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and it was on the Lord's day that he saw Christ. Take those words, in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In the original, those words may be rendered, in the Spirit belonging to the Lord's day. And what kind of Spirit belongs to the Lord's day as we go up to God's house? Are we in the Spirit of worship? Are we in the Spirit of devotion? Are we in the Spirit of praise? Are we in the Spirit of prayer? What were we talking about before we come into the Lord's house this morning? What was upon our minds? What was the topic of our conversation? Were we in the Spirit on the Lord's day? As we made our way to the Lord's house, did we talk about the things of God? Were we in the Spirit on the Lord's day? Were we in the Spirit belonging to the Lord's day? I was in the Spirit. Again, we look at those words as they're rendered in the original, and it reads, I became in the Spirit. And so as the Lord's day dawned, as far as John was concerned, he wasn't exactly in the Spirit, but he says, I became in the Spirit, belonging to the Lord's day. That's something we should pray about. As we rise on the Sabbath morning, we ought to pray, Lord, bring me into the Spirit on the Lord's day. This Lord's day. But did you notice something else? John was on the Isle of Patmos. He was alone. But he still remembered the Lord's day. He didn't say, well, I'm here by myself. It doesn't really matter. Oh, it matters all right. John was on the Isle of Patmos and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He still observed the Lord's day. And I know of people and they go on their holidays and it comes to the Lord's day and they're not in the house of God. They're lying on the beach somewhere. Forgot all about the Lord's day. John, the Isle of Patmos, was in the Spirit belonging to the Lord's day. He observed the Lord's day. And observing the Lord's day, being in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he saw Christ. He saw the Lord. We got to the Lord's house on the Lord's day. And we do so in the Spirit belonging to the Lord's day. We'll see Christ as well. John's readiness, he was ready to receive the word because he was in the Spirit. So you have John's readiness and the word, you have John's receiving of the word. Because he was ready to hear the word, he was in that spirit of worship. He was in that spirit of prayer, spirit of praise. He heard a voice behind him. John is ready to listen and give ear to what that voice had to say to him. He was ready to receive the word from the Lord. That's part of being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. To receive the word. When we come into the Lord, came into the Lord's house this morning, or any Sabbath morning, do we come with that prayer in our hearts, Brother Elliot, preach the word, because I'm ready to receive it. Give me the word today, because I'm ready to receive that word. I want a word from God. Was John's attitude. He was ready to receive it. You see, it's possible to hear the word and not receive it. Hebrews 4 verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. And many times have you been in the Lord's house and you've gone out and by the mid-afternoon you've forgotten all that has been said in the morning. Because you didn't receive the word. You heard it all right. But that we take that word and before God put it into practice and say, Lord, help me to live according to the word that I heard this morning. That was the spirit that John was in. He wanted to profit from the word. It's interesting. That word in Hebrews 4 and 2, profit. The word preached did not profit them. It's the same word, same word. We find in Mark 5, verse 26, regarding the woman with the issue of blood. She spent all her money on physicians, but was nothing bettered. Same word. Nothing bettered. She didn't profit anything. Even though she spent all of that money on all physicians, she was as bad as ever. Nothing, as far as she was concerned, profited her or made her any better. Now apply that to the word. Surely when we hear the words, we want to be better. We want to be more spiritual. We want to be less fleshly. We want to be more holy. We want to be less worldly. We want to be better. After hearing God's word today, you'll be able to say, I have gained much today. I have profited from the word today. Forget about the man. Concentrate on the message. Forget about the minister. Focus on the master. So we go home better, better. Walking closer to the Lord. Endeavoring to be conformed more to the image of his person. That's what it's all about, isn't it? To be more like Christ. That's what it's all about. You know, dear Christian, we know that there's nothing wrong with God's word. There's nothing wrong with God's word. And so if we go to the Lord's house and we don't profit anything, it's not the word's fault. It's our fault. We're the ones who haven't been in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We notice also John responding to the word. You'll notice that John did not turn a deaf ear to the voice that he heard behind him. Instead, he responded. For we read in verse 12, and I turned to see. The voice that spake with me, there's his fondness. Anyone who, like John, is in the Spirit on the Lord's day, when they hear the voice of the Lord, they will respond. I get that. If you and I come to the Lord's house in the Spirit on the Lord's day, you and I will respond to the Word. If we're not in the Spirit, if we're thinking about something else, and we're not thinking about the Word that is being preached to us, the Word will not profit us. And we'll not gain anything. And we'll not be responding to the Word. John responded. He says, I turned to see. Do you ever think what would have happened or not have happened had John not turned? He wouldn't have seen Christ. He wouldn't have been given that revelation of the Lord Jesus. And dear Christian, when we hear the voice of the Lord, we must respond. And if we're in the Spirit, we will want to respond. We will readily respond to the voice. And our prayer will be to the Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. I want to hear the Word. For John, it was a full and a complete turning. It wasn't something he did half-heartedly. He said he turned. The same word is found in 1 Corinthians, or sorry, Acts 26. In Acts 26, in verse 18, Paul says, verse 17, deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn, it's the same word, and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of God, and from the power of Satan unto God. To turn sinners from darkness to light. What does that mean? That means a complete turnaround. A complete turnaround. And when John heard the voice behind him, he had a complete turnaround. In other words, he turned from whatever else he was thinking or whatever else he was doing, completely turned to look to the one who had spoken to him. We all know. We come to the Lord's house sometimes on the Sabbath day with 100 things running through our mind. Something has happened at home. And it's very much on our minds when we come to the Lord's house. And we maybe spend our time thinking about that all the way through the service. And before we know it, the meeting's over. We haven't heard the Word. And we haven't turned. We come to worship God. We must turn completely from all fleshly thoughts and all fleshly things and all worldly thoughts. We're here to meet with God. We're here to hear the Word. We're here to see Christ. That ought to be our prayer always, as it was with the Greeks. When they came to the disciples and said, Sir, we would see Jesus. I remind myself of that every time I get into the pulpit in Port Hope. Mr. Elliott knows I have that text across my pulpit. Sir, we would see Jesus. No matter who gets into that pulpit, that's what they're to preach. Because the people want to see Jesus. You see his fondness and you see his focus. John said, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. He turned to see the person who spoke with him. And he recognized him. He turned, and in the midst, Christ must always be in the midst. The candlesticks represent the churches. Christ must always be in the midst of His church. In the midst of our preaching, in the midst of our praying, in the midst of our worship. Everything we do must focus on the Lord. Not on men, not on methods, but on Jesus Christ the Messiah. That's where our focus should always be. Always, always. John heard the voice. And it says, I turned to see. He didn't say, I turned to listen or I turned to hear. I turned to see. In other words, John wanted to see the person who had spoken to him. He wanted to see Christ. Because he knew it was the Lord, one like unto the Son of Man. And he wanted to see the person. And my, when we hear the word, this glorious word, this glorious book, we'll find the person in it. We cannot look into the Word of God and not see Jesus. The Lord said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The Lord is saying, I'm there. So when Brother Edith, our Brother Abernathy stands in this pulpit to preach the Word, you've been looking for Christ. That's what John did. He heard the voice and he turned to see. Press on quickly and you have John and his vision of Christ. Upon responding to the voice that he heard, the eyes of John beholds a wondrous sight. As I said earlier on, as well John turned. See how John would have missed out had he not turned upon hearing the voice? He wouldn't have seen the Lord. He wouldn't have had a revelation of Christ. Wasn't it as well he turned? Same as us. We hear the voice. We need to turn. Why? Because like John, we see his reward. He was rewarded when he turned. Yes, John was well rewarded for responding to the voice that he heard. And every Christian will be rewarded when they give heed to the voice of the Lord. Let me say this. If you do not give heed to the voice of the Lord as you hear the word preached, you're going to miss out with God. I'm telling you, you'll miss out with the Lord. You'll miss out. You'll miss blessings beyond compare. Sure, any of us would have loved to have been there in the Isle of Patmos where John was, to be given that revelation of Jesus Christ that he received. Let's not turn a deaf ear to the word. But let's turn to see. We read in John and Revelation 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, listen, hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. There's the blessing. Anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and sit with him and sup with him. What do you have there? Respond to the word of God and you'll have communion with him. That's what that verse is talking about. Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, responded to the voice that he heard on the Damascus road. And what did that lead to? Conversion by him. Isaiah said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then I said, here am I, sent me. He was commissioned by him. Turn upon hearing the voice of the Lord and you'll have communion with him. Sinners here today, upon hearing the voice of the Lord to you, you turn and you can be converted by him. And dear young people, hear the voice of the Lord today, or whenever you're challenged about full-time service, you turn and you may be commissioned by him. There's great profit in responding to the word. His reward, his recognition, turn to see the voice which spake with him. We are told that he saw Christ in those verses 12 and 13. He was familiar with Christ. He recognized him straight away. One like unto the Son of Man. Recognized him straight away. You're in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And you have an ear for the word. You'll turn to the word and you'll always be looking for Christ and you'll recognize him. Whenever you see him, in the Old Testament sacrifices and offerings, you'll see Christ. In the trials of life, you'll see Christ. You'll see him in the flood, because he'll be there. You'll see him in the fire, because he'll be there. You'll see him in the fight, because he'll be there. You'll see him. It says, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. John, first of all, saw the candlesticks, and he described them as seven golden candlesticks. But after he saw Christ, he didn't describe the candlesticks as golden anymore. You read the verses. He didn't go on to say, golden candlesticks. No, he just said candlesticks. Because you see, when he saw Christ, he saw more beauty in Christ than in the golden candlesticks. The time has gone. He fixed his eyes on Christ. He was focused on him. You notice something? Look there at that verse 13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head goes on to describe the Lord. He describes seven aspects of Christ. His head, his eyes, his feet, his voice, his right hand, his mouth, his countenance. Seven things. Seven the number of completion. Seven the number of perfection. Do you notice? John saw the seven golden candlesticks, but he didn't take up his time describing the beauty of the candlesticks. No. He took up his time describing the beauty of Christ. Taken up with him. was focused on Him. He was fixed on Him. Samuel Rutherford, a man I love in his writings, Samuel Rutherford said once, "When I look on Christ, I could look my eyes away." In other words, when he got his eyes on Christ, he couldn't take his eyes off Him. He's altogether lovely. He's the fairest of the fair. That's how John was rewarded. It was a blessing in disguise. There's much more to say, but the time was gone. Study the rest for yourself and what blessing John received. Even though he's imprisoned, left alone on the Isle of Patmos, still he saw Christ as he never saw Him before. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer.